Veterans Radio is dedicated to all the men and women who have served or are currently serving in the armed forces of the United States of America. Today's Veterans Radio is brought to you by U.S. Wings, home of the finest military flight jackets and much more. For more information, go to uswings.com. The Marine Scholars Program at Ave Maria University. To find out more about these scholarships, go to avemaria.edu. And finally, today we want to wish a happy birthday to the United States Marine Corps. Happy 236th birthday.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Fromberg.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio, the day after Veterans Day, and coming up on our 8th anniversary of doing this program live for all of you out there. It is such an honor and a privilege to bring you these stories every single week. Running the board, as he did the very first day, is Bob Gould.
Hey, from the 101st Airborne to all my brothers and sisters out there, the military brothers and sisters, actually everybody out there, welcome to Veterans Radio on our 8th anniversary. God, you believe that?
No, we had a lot more hair then, I think. A different color.
And I don't think we shook as much. That was it. Oh, I also want to say to my assistant board ops today, Nina and Hannah. There we go. Nina and Hannah, they're helping me out today. So back to you, Dale.
Okay, we'll be talking more about the 8th anniversary at the end of the program. So if you want to get in on the conversation, give us a call later on, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We really want to talk to you. But today, we've got some great information for you. We're going to be talking with the head of the local VA hospital here in Ann Arbor, and also we're going to be talking with General Robert Wagner about what it's like to be a veteran. And again, we want you to get in there. I think with the email that I sent out with the flyer, we wanted to know, what does Veterans Day mean to you? So we'll be getting to him in just a little bit. But first of all, we want to welcome back to Veterans Radio. It's been a little while, but is Robert McDivitt, the director of the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System. Bob, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale and Bob, I'm glad to be here, and happy 8th anniversary to you.
Thank you so very much. There's been an awful lot of things going on at the VA lately, haven't there?
There certainly have, and I think you know our mission every day is to honor America's veterans, but we had the privilege yesterday of celebrating Veterans Day with Congressman Dingell, Mike Finnegan, our network director, and 105 of the ROTC cadets from the University of Michigan who provided a great day. They visited patients in the hospital and learned what it was like to be a veteran.
Well, I tell you, and I know I'm not the only one, but Veterans Day seems to be becoming more and more meaningful to the general population, and I'm so pleased to see that happening.
Absolutely, as are we. I think you know we celebrate every day as Veterans Day at the VA hospital in Ann Arbor, but the support from the community was tremendous. The support from the veterans community, of course, was tremendous, and we had a wonderful day.
Well, I think it's important when we look at the idea of what the VA hospitals are doing around the country, and we are so fortunate here in Ann Arbor to not only have you running the hospital, but historically this has been one of the finest VA hospitals in the country, and we greatly appreciate the work that you're doing over there.
Well, thanks, Dale. We are, as you know, a full-service medical surgical hospital with complex care. We are the tertiary care referral facility for veterans in the state of Michigan and northwest Ohio. But most importantly, we're taking on three new strong initiatives. One is the initiative to eliminate homelessness among the veteran population. And the head of the VA, Secretary Eric Shinseki put that forward, that our goal is to eliminate homelessness among veterans by June of 2014, and we're working very hard in the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system to make that happen. In the last year, we had contact with about 1,000 veterans who either were homeless or were on the verge of becoming homeless, and using what we call the housing first model, have been able to get them into emergency housing, transitional housing, or long-term lifetime housing using what we call HUD dash vouchers.
Is there anything like a Fisher House connected with the Ann Arbor VA?
We have a lot of patients, as you know, who come from out of town for appointments or for treatment at our facility. We currently have what's called the Hoptel, which is a hospital and a hotel combined, and we have about 15 Hoptel beds in our hospital. We also contract with a variety of community hotels and lodge veterans in those facilities. We do not currently have a Fisher House, but we certainly would consider that and have looked into the possibility of working with the Fisher Foundation and community partners to try to create a Fisher House in Ann Arbor.
Well, I kind of digressed there on you. I'm sorry that I did that to you. But I was wondering, because I would love to see a facility closer to your hospital that could help out some of these homeless veterans. And I wasn't sure if there was a specific program, or maybe it's something that we could do on the local area where we could set up some sort of housing for homeless veterans, because there aren't a lot of quote nursing homes for veterans in Michigan, and the ones that are out there are pretty far away from this area.
Well, for homeless veterans, we actually have a lot of community housing options. We partner with the Salvation Army that has an excellent program for veterans. We partner with Avalon House that also provides housing for veterans. And probably most importantly are the HUD VASH vouchers, where actually any landlord who qualifies under the HUD Section 8 program, which is many, many landlords in Michigan and in Ohio, are able to bring veterans into those programs. So we have many community partners right now. A Fisher House is more for patients and families who are
right
in the hospital for surgery, who are going through chemotherapy or radiation therapy or those kinds of things, very much like a Ronald McDonald House, but
mm-hmm.
with a focus on veterans and veterans' families.
So tell me, if somebody is looking for, we'll talk about this later on, but if somebody needs help or knows of a homeless veteran, who would they contact at the VA for help?
They can contact our general number, which is 1-800-361-8387, and ask to speak to the Healthcare for Homeless Veteran Coordinator, and they will be connected with one of our 17 social workers who do casework and outreach for homeless veterans.
Okay. And I want to again remind the people that, especially in the Ann Arbor or southeastern Michigan area, that these people are wonderful, and they go out of their way to help out. So we've got that program. Tell me about the other ones, the things that are going on at the Ann Arbor VA.
We had a great year in fiscal year 2007. We're now in fiscal year 2012 with the federal government. We opened our brand new acute inpatient mental health unit, which is a state-of-the-art healing community. Beautifully designed. It is also a safe place for veterans to be when they're going through treatment. There are skylights that show the sky. There's exterior lighting. There are beautiful pictures of nature. There are inspirational messages for veterans. And it has really transformed mental health care, I think, not only in VA but across the country. And we were very proud that unit was selected by the American Institute of Architects for a design award, reflecting that we're creating this healing community for mental health at the VA. We also opened a beautiful new inpatient mental health clinic on the 7th floor of the hospital just a few weeks ago, which, again, it has a play area for children, simulated waterfalls, beautifully appointed, and so on, and the kind of a healing environment that we want veterans to be in. On Monday, we will move into a new chemotherapy area. We call it an infusion center in the hospital, which again is designed as a healing area and is about five times as large as our existing infusion center and a much-needed project. We are building a brand-new emergency room and urgent care center that will be open in about a year. So for those of you who come to the Ann Arbor VA, you will see a lot of construction going on, and we're really getting better every day.
Wow. Sounds like things are really happening over there. We're talking with Robert McDivitt, who's the head of the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system. And I was just going to ask a question. As I'm hearing you talk about all of these things, how is the funding issues going right now, or what have you heard lately what Congress is trying to do.
We certainly had a good year last fiscal year. We added about 145 new full-time equivalent employees in our VA Ann Arbor healthcare system. We now have over 2,000 employees serving veterans. We were able to purchase significant equipment items, including a brand new PET CT scanner. We're the only VA in the state of Michigan to offer PET treatment and diagnosis to veterans. We have three beds and so on, so we ended the year in a good place. We are also one of the only federal government agencies that has a fiscal year 2012. Congress approved and the President signed the Veterans Health Administration appropriation a few months ago. So we have a budget through September 30th of next year, which in the case of the Ann Arbor Healthcare System is a good increase over fiscal year 11. We think we are supporting our continued growth and care to veterans, and we'll be able to continue to do good things. And I just want your listeners to know that the VA, the healthcare part of the VA and the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system have a budget through September 30th of next year. So when you hear talks of budget negotiations, potential government shutdowns and so on, that does not apply to veterans healthcare.
Hooray. Hooray. That sounds terrific. I'm going over some of the information that you sent to us, and you're talking about how, again, in southeastern Michigan especially, that there are many outreach programs that are going on out there. I was looking at a note here about a benefits pilot program in Toledo. Could you talk about that just briefly?
Right. Working in partnership with the VA regional office, we created what is called Click to Benefits, and we're one of the first sites in the country to have that program. It is an online video connection where a veteran can come in to one of our clinics, in this case Toledo, press a button on a computer and is instantly connected with a benefits counselor at the regional office. The benefits counselor can pull up the veteran's claim, can help the veteran fill out the claim online, forms back and forth, and it's really one-stop shopping. We plan to roll Click to Benefits out to Ann Arbor, Flint, and Jackson this year and hope by the end of the year to have four sites, so there will be an immediate connection to Veterans Benefits Administration counselor at each of our healthcare facilities.
Wow, that's great. That's kind of like Skyping. So instead of talking to Grandma and Grandpa, you can just get on there and talk to a VA counselor. That sounds terrific to me.
Absolutely. We're very excited to expand Click to Benefits.
I think that's a terrific program. You also mentioned in your press release here that you've got the Veterans Justice Outreach Program. How is that
right.
going?
It's going very well. I had the privilege last Monday to go to the Veterans Justice Outreach Court graduation in Novi, where Chief Judge Brian McKenzie has partnered with the VA. And Veterans Justice Outreach is for veterans who have come in contact with law enforcement and are in danger of jail or going on probation or things of that nature. And the court treats veterans as they should be, as a special category. And in this case, 10 veterans who a year ago certainly faced jail were given the option of going to jail or working in partnership with VA seeking treatment and the court during that time. And all 10 of them graduated Monday night. All of them had their sentence either commuted or reduced significantly. And most importantly, all of them turned their lives around. They each told their story individually, and it was tremendously compelling. And it's a pleasure for us in VA to be a part of that. We have a Veterans Justice Outreach Coordinator, Melody Powers, who I believe has been on your show before. Mm-hmm. And Melody is working with many courts, and we hope that in the not-too-distant future to have Veterans Justice Outreach courts throughout the area. I know in Washtenaw County we're very close. In Livingston County we're very close. Lansing, there is already a Veterans Justice Outreach Court that we've done some good work with. And we think this is a very important tool and a very, very important benefit that we want to partner with the courts to do.
Well, again, it sounds like another terrific program where veterans are helping veterans, and that's what we need to do. Some of us are a little bit different animal than the regular population, and we seem to pay attention a little bit more to other veterans than we do to civilians, which is unfortunate in some cases. But I wanted to also talk to you a little bit about, it says, your OIF Seamless Transition Team, and you've got some events coming up with that.
Right. Well, one of the events is today, University of Michigan Annual Army-Navy Wheelchair Basketball Game is at Saline High School at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and we invite all your listeners to make it out there and be part of this great event that the university is helping us to put on. And next Saturday, in conjunction with the University of Michigan versus Nebraska football game, the university is again reaching out to veterans, and we'll be holding a special tailgate celebration for returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans in the field house at the university. Last year it was a tremendous event. The president of the university was there, the athletic director was there, the veterans who were in attendance were very much a part of the football process and the game, and we want to thank the university for this great partnership. At the VA, we continue our aggressive outreach to Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation New Dawn veterans with our Sarah Nowitzki and our wonderful team. And we will individually case manage or deal with any issue that any returning combat veteran has, and are very proud that we have now over 6,000 returning global war and terror veterans who are enrolled for care in our VA and Arbor healthcare system.
Wow, I didn't realize there were that many. That's terrific that we were able to do that and provide those services for them. And then one last thing I saw on our on the list was your Veterans Transportation Service. It looks like it's expanding a little bit.
And that's a new service for us that has come online this year. We have five beautiful red, white, and blue shrink-wrap vans, and many of you in this area have probably seen running the highways.
Mm-hmm.
We have worked in partnership with the Meijer stores in Wayne and Livingston County, and we have about 10 daily stops where the vehicle will bring any veteran who has an appointment at the VA Ann Arbor Medical Center to their appointment and back to the Meijer store free of charge on that day. If it's the kind of appointment where you need a caregiver to accompany you, the caregiver can also come with you. That service can be set up calling the same general number for the VA, 1-800-361-8387, and hitting the extension for our Veterans Transportation Service. It's a service that is staffed entirely by veterans who we hired in the last year. They have great customer service, a great rapport with their fellow veterans, doing exactly what you described in the Veterans Justice Outreach Court, Dale. And we want to grow this service. We think it's a wonderful thing for veterans, and we would encourage any veteran that has an appointment in Ann Arbor to take it and lives in this area to take advantage of the Veterans Transportation Service.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you so very much. We are very fortunate to have people like you and to have a facility like we do in Ann Arbor, and we encourage our listeners out there to get involved with the local VA near your home. And if you're not satisfied with what's going on there, let's make sure we get that corrected. So here's a good example. Come on down to Ann Arbor and can see how it's supposed to work. Bob, thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio. I look forward to talking to you sometime soon.
All right. My pleasure. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much. If you have questions for the Ann Arbor VA or anything that we've talked about today, you can give them a call. The number is 800-361-8387. Bob, I think some of these new programs I've got over there are just terrific.
Yeah, I do too, Dale. And I've been taking advantage of the Ann Arbor VA using their wonderful, wonderful facilities. You know what I like about it the most is that, well, they're very efficient. I mean, I know it sounds like a bureaucracy before, but that, I think those were the old days. So they've been working on that, and you're in and out very quickly, and I like it. I'm very impressed.
I know. We have talked with other veterans from around the country at many of the conferences and conventions we've been to, and they say, what do you mean you get into your appointment within 2 minutes of arriving? And we're going, I don't know.
Well, that might be a little. But that doesn't happen anywhere.
But, you know. That's a paid political announcement. We're very pleased and very fortunate to have that. We'll be right back in just a moment. Excuse me. With General Robert Wagner, 3-star retired, to talk about what it's like to be a veteran. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio this day after Veterans Day, and we're joining us on the program right now is a good friend of ours, General Bob Wagner, who retired after 39 years in the military, West Point graduate, was everywhere in the world, I think, and ended up being a commander of Special Operations. General, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
We were very
enjoying listening to your program.
Thank you. We were privileged to meet you down in Hudson, Ohio for Sergeant Hack's Welcome Home Veterans this year, and I think it's going to become an annual conference, and it was such a pleasure to meet you there, and you've been on the program before. And I wanted to just start off by saying, what do you think about Veterans Day? What does it bring to mind for you?
Well, I think that...
There's a blindsided question for you.
First of all, I think you feel grateful to be an American, proud to have had the chance to serve. I think the veterans are, for the most part, quiet, but extraordinarily big. And I think there's strong bonds of friendship with everybody you've served with. And I think it's pretty much of an emotional day for me. I spent the day yesterday in the morning at a local primary school, grades K through 4, and hear the young kids stand and sing the Star Spangled Banner and Lady Liberty and God Bless America, and we're thankful for the USA. It kind of does make you feel like what you did was worthwhile and had meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And you hope the very best for the future of our nation, and that hope that they'll have a better world than we all had.
That's extremely important. I had a similar experience yesterday. I started off the morning at Milan Middle School in Michigan. That's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and they welcomed in, I think, every veteran from within 25 miles of the area. But as we walked into this little gymnasium, the kids were stomping and screaming, and their band was playing military music and so forth. It was just... I mean, it brought us all to tears when we were thinking about that and looking out at this, you know, group of young men and women, and you kind of remember back to when you were in the seventh grade, and you're going, boy, you've got the whole world in front of you, kids. And, you know, we did the best we could, and we're going to hand it over to you, and it's still here. I think that's the important message. It's still here. And
well, I agree with you, and my experience is just like yours. And, you know, we had veterans from World War II and Korea, Vietnam, and the current fight, and it didn't matter how old you were, how long you served, you're a veteran and you participated in serving your nation, and it is a good feeling to know that the young people appreciate it and understand that.
I think it's so important that if you're a veteran out there and you hadn't had this good feeling, go to a smaller town. I think that they're so much more aware, it seems like, of what veterans are doing. They're not so busy and so forth. We had the 20th anniversary of the local county Vietnam Veterans Memorial the other night, and the members of the family, it was built about 20 years ago, and it's not a true miniature wall. It's its own monument, but they have listed on there all the men who were killed in Vietnam or were MIA, and they had family members at this celebration. And it was just powerful as going to the Vietnam Wall was to me the first time I did that. And it's just so almost rewarding to have people not forget the sacrifices that people have paid to, you know, maintain what we've got. And, you know, whether you agree politically or not, it's still the best system going.
It sure is. Can I read just a real short phrase to you?
Sure.
This was from President Roosevelt on June 6, 1944, at the very start of the war. And he said, "My fellow Americans, at this point in our may I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, our civilization, and to set free the suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessing." I kind of think that those words, although they may not have heard them, are in the mind of every veteran who heads, every soldier, sailor, airman, and marine who sets off to war, and are kind of what every veteran says, that's why I served.
I couldn't agree with you more. It kind of says it. What do you think about, I know you've spent 39 years in the military. I only spent 3 years, 7 months, and 2 days, but who counted? So, I mean, it was obviously a different mindset there. How do you feel about the way that the military people are being treated today versus 30 years ago?
I think, of course, the military is a reflection of society. It very much should be a parallel to what is in our society. We don't want an elitist military that thinks they live and act to a different standard.
Right.
And I think that what has happened more recently, perhaps because of the media, is that people are pretty much aware of on a daily basis what is happening and going on. And fortunately for today's soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine who are serving and returning, I think they're welcome home with respect and appreciation. Certainly World War II saw the same thing. In the middle, we had a bit of difficulty along that line, and I'm grateful to you and your organization for helping recognize all of the veterans, some of whom never did receive a welcome home. So I'm not sure that we can be as high as we did in World War II, where you could actually come home to a victory parade. Today's wars are different. You don't have a victory parade at the end of it. You just hope that you made a difference and helped impact that other country and the people of the country. But I do think that the veterans are appreciated and respected. One of the veterans there at the little ceremony I was at yesterday was in his uniform, and he's currently out of the military. But he said his children ask him to wear his uniform. And that's kind of telling you that kids think they're proud of their dad for having served, and they're little guys who ask that. But I hope they grew up feeling the same way, and that their grandchildren and children will feel the same way.
I certainly hope so. We're talking with General Bob Wagner, retired, who lives down in Ohio, still extremely active in Veterans Affairs and some other programs that are going on there. I wanted to mention that to our audience, if you see a veteran, the only thing they ever seem to want back is somebody to just acknowledge them and say thank you just once. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a combat veteran, it's just somebody who served. Anybody who's signed up to serve put their life on the line, that they didn't know where they were going to go or where they would end up, and they were always willing to do whatever we were, you know, asked to do. But I was thinking of this again the other day, and it's kind of the thing that got the whole Veterans Radio program going, is you never know who that veteran is. We don't look that different when we're in our civilian clothes. Some of us look a whole lot worse in our civilian clothes than we did in our uniforms, unfortunately. But it could be the little old guy, you know, that's trying to work his way, you know, through the grocery store. It could be the young woman that is, you know, jogging down the street. You know, we kind of wonder, where did these people come from? They're everywhere. We come from all walks of life. And as you said, our military is very unusual, and even in this time in the world, where it's not an elite program. I mean, there are great men and women involved in it, but they're just everyday Americans who have made this decision for their career. I'm constantly amazed at how we are able to separate the military from the civilian.
I agree with what you said. You know, yesterday I was sitting next to an old World War II veteran, and he spent 4 days at Bastogne as a replacement. And he said, "I didn't know nothing. I just did what I was told to do."
Yeah.
But that, you know, that captures the heart of what makes us successful.
And
people
not,
who are willing to do what they're told to do for the greater cause.
I think so, and I think it's important to mention, we were going to talk about this a little bit later, Bob and I, about our favorite programs. And one of my favorite programs has always been on ethics and morality of war. And how we, and people might not agree with me on this, but there are rules to war that we take extremely important here in America. And, I mean, there are parts of the world that don't necessarily play by the rules. But we have always tried to play by the rules, and I found that extraordinary in my experience when I was in the service, that you didn't take advantage of a particular situation. I mean, there were many times when you had to, you know, get rid of the enemy any way that you could. But we also spent a lot of time, at least in my experience in Vietnam, bringing back the bad guys who were wounded, and we'd fix them up. And I think that that says something about what an American is.
Having traveled in lots of parts of the world, I think the one thing that we do is we have tremendous respect for the value of life and the human being, whether they're an enemy or a friend.
It just seems to be something that has been bred into us since the very beginning, because you know we do have this separation of military and civilians, and I know I'm going back to that again, but to think that our leaders recognize that there is a civilian in charge. And you worked with the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is that not correct?
Yes.
I know, I was looking back through your bio again, and you're going in and out of the White House and so forth, you know, throughout your career, and to see this separation where most presidents just, you know, the military says this is what to do, it takes it under consideration, and then he decides whether he currently, I still live in Ann Arbor, I have to remember that, he decides which course they're going to follow. And you, from the military side, you present all the options. Isn't that correct?
Well, yes, and, you know, there is no conflict. It's simply a military problem that can be solved with the military anymore. Everything is so interwoven, we certainly must make sure that the military provides a course of action that can be followed and executed, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee a long-term solution to the problem. It takes care of an element of the problem. And so you do need somebody who's in charge of the overall issue who can look at it from the political, the economic, the social aspects of it beyond the military situation. So it is appropriate that the military doesn't have total say in what to do in a conflict because, first of all, the military never asked for it. Mm-hmm. The military provides a solution to the problem presented to them within the limits and capabilities that they have.
I bring this up because I think it's so important for our civilian audience to know these things. We have another a local friend, a colonel, who teaches out at the War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And she's always, the stories that she tells me I always find out are fascinating because they're always what-if scenarios. What if this particular power tries to rise up? What are we going to do? And here's, you know, plan A, B, and C. And I think that that's so important that we have that ongoing situation.
It is. You know, it's interesting. If there was a problem in the world and you were the national security advisor and you were able to call in different people to tell you what to do, so you had the Secretary of State, Treasury, Justice, CIA, all of your heads, and you would say, here's the problem, come back and tell me in 2 days what you can do about it. The most decisive thing that could be seen by others would probably be military action. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's the most important thing, but it'd be the most visible thing. It's a little bit harder for others to guarantee on a given time frame what they can deliver. They can work with the marshes and the agreements with other nations. I think the real thing we have to avoid always is going for the early visible solution, which seems to be military, but put it in the context of all the elements of national power coming to bear, as opposed to simply the military course of action, which can be quickly seen.
I'm just amazed at the work that you did over your 39-year career, and I wanted you to remind our audience of some of the things that you and people like Sergeant Hack are involved in northeastern Ohio, where you honor the high school graduates that make the decision to go into the military. Could you just review that for us real quickly?
Oh, thank you. Yes, there's a program called Our Community Salutes, and if you simply go onto the web and look that up, you can find out about the program. But what it really says is that as you go to high school graduations across the country, they typically focus primarily on people who are going to college and their scholarships. And the thought is, my goodness, there are young men and women who are agreeing to voluntarily enter the service after graduation. And, you know, every day they've spent in school since second grade or so, the nation's been at war, yet they're volunteering to go serve. And it's not that they're going to do it in the future. They're going to do it right after graduation. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take the time to thank them now, they'll be off in the uniform and we never really thanked them. And so we, in our case, and around the greater Cleveland area, taking in 10 counties and 114 high schools, we realized that there were 350 graduating seniors who are going to enter the military, which makes them, the Department of Defense probably the largest employer of graduating seniors in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together a program following the lead started by Dr. Ken Hartman to recognize these people. And we had a wonderful college fair where colleges came in and talked about what the soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine could do on duty to advance their education using their GI benefits. And then we had a wonderful recognition ceremony where they crossed the stage and a general or an admiral thanked them, and then a stand-up reception where people from the community could thank them. And I think it's a really neat program. I hope it will be picked up across the nation, and you'll see this in many of our cities where we formally express our gratitude to these patriotic young men and women.
I think that is just an incredible program, and when I was so grateful to know some people that were involved in it, and it's certainly something that we want to investigate and see what we can do out in this area of the world to do that. I was reminded again yesterday, as you were talking to, I was talking to a young, well, not young anymore, but he was had been an infantry guy in Vietnam at 18. And he was telling me how much he appreciated helicopter pilots and us taking them in and out. And all. I said, you were only 18. Wow, I thought I was really old. I was 20. And
yeah.
I'm flying around in a $500,000 aircraft. And he's toting around, you know, a couple of $100,000 worth of equipment and radio equipment and so on and so forth. And, you know, we need to acknowledge what these young people can do. And I think it's so important, especially when we start reminding employers, and there's a lot of them out there, and I want to congratulate all those employers that are out there making a big push to hire this generation's veterans. But these people have done stuff that you as civilians can't even imagine by the time they're 20 years old.
You know, as those young people walk across that stage with their long hair, civilian clothes, and their casual walk, you just couldn't help but find humor in the fact that within months they will look so different, they will act so different, their lives will be changed as they find skills and abilities and talents that they never knew that they had and be given opportunities to do things they dreamed at their young age they would be doing.
I think
they will be certainly better people forever for having done it.
I think so. And it's not just the skills of being able to shoot guns and so forth. It's that confidence that builds you. It's the leadership qualities. I mean, again, how many people at 20 years old get to lead a group of 20 people and get them to follow you? I think that's amazing. And you know, the education that you got at West Point is a great education. It's not just military science. And I want people to realize all those things that are going on there. I know we could go on and on, General, but I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio again, and we look forward to talking to you in the future, and I wish you and your family only the best.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your current service in recognizing the veterans across our great nation.
We will do that.
Have a great day. Thank you very much.
General Robert Wagner. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Sergeant David Bleek, although a medical aid man, killed 3 North Korean soldiers and disarmed 2 more. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother. My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Bleek volunteered to accompany a reconnaissance boat committed to engage the enemy and capture a prisoner for interrogation. Forging up the rugged slope of the key terrain, the group was subjected to intense automatic weapons and small arms fire and suffered several casualties. After administering to the wounded, Bleek continued to advance with the patrol. Nearing the crest of the hill, while he crossed the fire-swept area to attend the wounded, he came under hostile fire from a small group of the enemy concealed in a trench. Entering the trench, he closed with the enemy, killed 2 with his bare hands and a 3rd with his trench knife. Moving from the emplacement, Bleek saw a concussion grenade fall in front of a companion and, quickly shifting his position, shielded the man from the impact of the blast. Later, while ministering to the wounded, a hostile bullet struck him, But despite the wound, Bleak undertook to evacuate the wounded comrade. As he moved down the hill with his heavy burden, two enemy soldiers with fixed bayonets attacked him. Closing with the aggressors, he grabbed them and smacked their heads together, then carried his helpless comrade down the hill to safety.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And welcome back to Veterans Radio. Sorry for the little delay there. I was just listening to the music.
Well, you know, it's all a play for Veterans Weekend. Actually, it should be the whole weekend.
I agree. We want you to give us a call if you get a chance. And I know that this is always a dangerous thing to do in radio. But
you never know.
We want to talk a little bit about Veterans Radio over the last 8 years. And so we're asking you to give us a call at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. I don't have any ringers out there, so I'm counting on somebody to do this. But I wanted to take Bob back, and I know this is hard for Bob to time trip, but to the 15th of November, 2003. And we were over in Ypsilanti at a station called WSDS.
SDS, Suds Radio.
Suds Radio, which was known in the air at the time as a country western station. And it was owned by George Cook, who had inherited it from his father. And this place, I mean, when you walked into this studio, you felt as if you were stepping back in time. I mean, way back in time. Talking 30s and 40s.
We had turntables.
We had turntables.
Turntables, folks. I think that they went out in 1951.
I would have brought, I was thinking, boy, wouldn't it be fun to play the opening for the original program, but it's on wire. And it's, wire is one of the old ways of recording. And it was kind of a strange little program. And of course, we had a lot of problems with that. But I wanted to just acknowledge Bob, of course, and Ken Rogge, who was one of the originals of Veterans Radio. And Ken, if you're out there listening, thanks so very much for all that you did to help us get going and to keep us on the air and help us with our production standards. Ken had many years of experience working with Armed Forces Radio and was able to help us out with that, and we greatly appreciate what Ken did to us. Actually, you can hear Ken's voice every time we play one of our Medal of Honors. He is the one that is there.
We do have someone on the line. Mark Lindke, okay, on line one.
I got him. Hi, Mark.
Dale.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Happy birthday to you guys. I'm one of those old-timers that remembers when you were on WSDS. In fact, I did a couple of shows with you over there with the cats running around in the studio.
See, we don't make that stuff up. Mark is a retired person who used to work for Veterans, ran the Veterans Service Organization here in Washtenaw County, and was our local, one of our local experts on VA benefits.
Well, I certainly enjoyed coming on the show, and I certainly enjoyed listening to it, and I want to thank you guys for continuing your excellent service to the veteran community.
Thank you so very much, Mark. In fact, I don't know if you're going to be on, but Mark gave me a story idea for next week, and we're going to be talking to a group of people run a program called Buddy to Buddy. And it's a mentor.
Yeah, it's a wonderful program, and I'm hopeful that we'll have somebody on to promote it and tell you a little bit more about it next Saturday.
That's right. It's a mentoring program where veterans help veterans. Good program. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks. Enjoy. And keep on keeping on. I know.
Thank you. Mark mentioned the cats. There used to be the studio had cats that lived in the studio. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Five or six or more.
At least.
And they would walk across the control board. The on-off switches and everything. And so you'd be talking and, you know, the microphone would go off or go on or whatever it is. And at one time when nothing seemed to work over that, they finally brought somebody in to clean out the control board.
Yeah.
And it had so much cat hair in it that they had to buy a new one. The transmitter that would send our signal out across the local area, you had to bang on it because sometimes it would drop down in power, and so the only people that could hear it was somebody in the next room. And so the engineer would get up and bang on the side of the transmitter, and the power would, you could almost hear it come back on again. And so it was quite the adventure. But I wanted to just talk briefly about some of the programs that we've done over the years, and of course make mention of our partner Gary Lilly, who unfortunately was killed in August, and we're still reeling from that. But I wanted to mention at the memorial service over in Ypsilanti Township the other night, somebody had, Gary was a Navy CB, and they always had the thing of, you know, CBs can do, and, you know, they built everything in everywhere, World War II, and they built the runways, they built the houses, and so on and so forth. But somebody had actually made up a CB jacket for Gary just before he died and had not been able to deliver it. So he brought the jacket to the ceremony on the other night, and it's got the big CB logo on the side of it, and it's got Gary's name on it. It was just so powerful. And so, Gary, we're sorry you weren't able to get your jacket wherever you are, and we'll make sure we get it to your family. I think that they will like that. The family has been terrific to us, and also we want to thank all of the people that have been generous in helping Gary's situation out there, and you know, help. Gary lived alone, unfortunately, and so we had to clear out everything, and they had an auction, and they were very generous in sharing part of their proceeds to keep Veterans Radio going.
But he collected everything. I don't think he threw anything away. No, he wasn't a hoarder, folks. It wasn't like that.
It was very organized.
He had order, and it was organized, but he had a lot of stuff. Just stuff. And it was kind of cool to go through it. Then everything you touched, of course, you thought of Gary, right? It just brought back a memory, and it must be that his, what would you say, his vibes, his being was all a part. So a lot of folks say, well, I don't know if I believe that stuff. Believe it, folks, because when we were going through it and touching these things, you could actually feel that Gary, well, he was a part of it.
We have a little statue here of the Big Boy doll from the Big Boy over here on Plymouth Road and US 23, and I probably should get our promo in there for them too. They've been providing us Veterans Radio crew with breakfast every morning for the last 3 or 4 years. And so we meet over there every Saturday morning before we come over here to do the program around between 7 and 7:30. And I'm supposed to, you know, we never mention it, but if you get the opportunity and you're over there, stop by, because that's the kind of people that we like. It's just like our other sponsors, the U.S. Wings, who have been great to us since we met up with them this last spring. The Marine Scholars, obviously, through Ave Maria University, have been there since we moved over here and helping us out. And we're always looking for sponsors. Of course, Village Kitchen here in Ann Arbor. Helen Panos, I wanted to thank Helen specifically. Yesterday she said something to me about how she's going to continue to support us. And it looks like we have another call, and I see the phone ringing. But I want you to give us a call. Tell us about some of the programs. I'm going back to the list. The earliest we can go back on our website right now, unfortunately, is back to 2006 with archived programs. But it's
will there be any chance to put the rest of those back on?
Yes, we've got them. Thanks again to Ken Rogie. Thank you, Ken. He saved all the CDs from the original programs, and we've got them all. And while we're doing this, we're putting out a call for help for people who know how to do websites and website design and updates and so forth, so that we can do this. Right now, it's Bob and I are trying to do it, and between us, it's scary. I think sometimes I hit the enter switch and entire pages will disappear. So, that's not good for my health. And we want to thank our good buddy Vance McCrum also, down in Milan, the dog band. He records the program every Saturday, edits it down, and puts it up on the web. So normally all of our programs are up on the web by Saturday afternoon. So we want to thank Vance for that. I was going back and looking at some of these programs that we've done, Bob, over the years, and it's just amazing. We've got D-Day. You talk about submarines. You have a Father's Day program when we had former Governor Jennifer Granholm on the program, and she said, you know, that famous line, again, I should have cut that out. She just said, Dale, anything you, whatever vets want, they get. And so we're going to hold the current governor to that. Chasing Ghosts.
We do have another call. I hate to, but we got to get John Kissinger from the VVA, and he's on line one.
Okay. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dale and Bob. Congratulations.
How are you? Fine morning.
And what an anniversary.
It is, isn't it? 8 years. That's longer, as Bob pointed out, that's longer than any of his marriages combined.
I hear you. I like Mark Linke. Remember being over there at the old Suds broadcast booth, and it was a step back in time. And I must really admit, back then I thought, how can these guys run a program a year? I mean, is there that many subjects out there? And you've done an incredible job with, you know, unfortunately the passing of Gary and all, but the whole group out there, including Ken, used to bring in some wonderful speakers, very important people in the military history of our great country, and it's just been incredible. You guys just keep going, and I wish you all the very best.
Well, John, thank you so very much, and of course, John is heavily involved in the veterans community in the Ann Arbor and regional and nationwide, and John's been feeding me some ideas for stories lately, so we'll be getting some of those on the air as we keep going, because like Gary, John seems to know every veteran in the country.
not near as well as Gary, but listen, you know, all of your listeners out there should be, you know, feeding you potential people that come on, you know, the gentleman who was in the newspaper recently, Fritz Lehman,
mm-hmm.
from the 10th Mountain Division, and he was, I talked to him yesterday, you have to have him on, he was a trained 10th Mountain, froze his butt off up in Colorado, you know, in World War II, getting trained, he went over to Italy and never used skis, they just rock climbed after the Germans,
I think those are incredible stories, John. It's like you said, just the people I saw the last couple of days have fed us up. Thanks so much for giving us a call. We greatly appreciate it.
All right. Well, happy anniversary, and we'll keep listening.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right, guys. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we're having, you know, our time is just about up. Just like the last 8 years, it goes by so fast. These fingers fly.
Well, what we're going to be doing, we're going to go out on a program or on a song that was one of Gary's favorites. It's not unusual. It's a fascinating version of the Star Spangled Banner by a woman named Teresa Sloat from out in Kansas. And whenever we played that, Gary thought it's a little haunting. So I want you to listen to the entire song while you're doing it, while you're hanging around. It runs about 3 minutes. But next week we're going to be talking to Donut Dollies from Vietnam. We're going to be talking in the future about a lot of different things coming up. Of course, we're going to do a program on gifts for veterans that first weekend in December. So if you've got something that veterans need, you let us know. We are so honored to talk to all of you every single weekend, and we can't wait for you to come back next week to Veterans Radio. Until then, you are dismissed.
And bright on toll a perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we won, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red lips, love on bursting in air. Oh, say does that star send
between their loved home and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace. May the heaven rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the
That was Teresa Sloat, and that's one of the versions that Gary liked me because it sounded like bagpipes, I think. I forgot to mention Ingrid Weber, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Ingrid worked with us as one of our assistants for a couple of years, and we couldn't have, Ingrid kept track of all of our programs and phone numbers and so forth, and we wanted to thank Ingrid for that personally. And
veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.